Well, good morning to you today.
How are you?
It's good to see you. It's good to see you here today. I'd like for you to today just to pretend, if you will, that we're at my kitchen table, and we're eyeball to eyeball, and we're talking. You think about all the things that happen at your kitchen table. I don't know about your house, but the kitchen table, the counter there in the kitchen, that's where most business is done in the household. Last several weeks, as we've begun the new year, we took a look at the name of our church, which is Sycamore Church, lifting people up so they can see Jesus. Went back to the Zacchaeus story. And that is kind of the motto of who we are, God led us to be. Next week, he took the same story and he looked at our purpose, knowing him, making him known, which is out on the sign out there. Sycamore Church. This is the meeting place of the Sycamore Church. Knowing him, making him known, and how everything you could, the first and great commandment, and the second likened to it: love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That on those two commandments, everything else hangs, and we see that knowing him, love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then making him known, and your neighbor as yourself. Those two, and that's kind of the basis of who we are. Who we are as a church. Then the next week we took a look at our vision 2019 and how the Lord has spoken to us that we're to get back to our hub. And as we explained that, getting back to who we are as a church, and then physically moving our plant out there to Georgetown. That would be the place from which we would go out, sell this property here, and build on that property in Georgetown. We talked about that. And then last week, as we continue to kind of meld into that theme of how God is using us, we talked about revival. We looked at Acts 16 and how in Acts 16, Paul gets this. This vision of the Macedonian to come over here, and that, and all the obedience, and we looked at all those characteristics about revival, personal revival, what would call upon us to do as a body if we're going to be serious about the vision that he's given us. Because being serious about that vision, it's going to take personal renewal, because you can move in a different house and have the same family and just carry a lot of couples think, well, if I move to a different city and different house, somehow we're going to be able to change our family. You just move the same set of problems into a different location. But we saw God's calling us to more than that. And so with that today, I've simply today, if you got one of these today, it's a simple question: have you made up your mind? And I want to read the first part of Daniel chapter 1, the first few verses of that to you today. And let me set this up so you can understand where we're coming from, and you'll see in a minute why I'm asking you that question: have you made up your mind? Daniel is about the Babylonian captivity. Daniel and his three friends, they're going to be mentioned. We remember them as Shadrach and Abednego, and their Hebrew names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And so this is the basis of that story, and here's these young men that were probably taken during the first deportation as the Babylonians were deporting the people. They took the brightest ones first. And their method of conquering a country was to take the young people and train them in the Babylonian methodology of government, of religion, and everything, and then use those people to lord it over the country that they had conquered. Do you see the wisdom in that? Don't agree with it, but do you see why they would do something like that? Okay. So here it is. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it, making war. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. And we won't preach on that today, but later on that's going to come back to bite him, or bite that country big time. Because they've taken the things of God and put them into the house of a false god. And the king ordained Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles. Youths, now here's a description of Daniel and his friends. Youths in whom was no defect, who were good looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding, discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldean. So I guess they went in, gave them SATs, did them the MMPI, the Minnesota Multiple Personality Inventory. They did all that. Did all of these things, tested them. And these are the ones that they brought back with them to Babylon to train. Verse 5, the king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank. And he appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them, from the sons of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them. What's in a name? They're imprinting them. They're imprinting them with Babylonian culture. They're renaming them in the image of their God. That's why God takes his name so seriously. You're imprinting someone. So here's the new names. Daniel, he assigned the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And Azariah, Abednego. I'm not going to preach a sermon on those. Just in those names, it's chock full right there. But get this, verse 8. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. And on to verse 9. And God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine. He made up his mind. He made a choice. Instead of drinking and eating from the king's table, he wanted vegetables and he drank water. And at first, the king's servant didn't want to do it. He said, well, we'll try it 10 days, and if it doesn't work, in 10 days, their countenance was different from the others. And so, see, from the very outset, Daniel and his three friends took a stand. They made up their mind. If you looked at the Hebrew translation of that, it would read like this. They purposed in their inmost being, they made a decision. Now, if you follow the history of Daniel from this point, and you look in his life, his life will span two kingdoms, because he will stretch from the Babylonians all the way through the Medo-Persians. I mean, here's a guy who knew Nebuchadnezzar and he knew Cyrus. Wow. I mean, that obviously didn't impress you, but if you were a history buff, it would impress you a lot. And here's a guy who according to man's standards, two of the greatest rulers that had ever been and have been on the face of the planet, not according to God's standards now, not according to God's standards, but according to man's standards, two of the greatest, and both of them have the same opinion of Daniel and throughout his life, because he starts as a young man and then he's an old man. I mean, you talk about consistency. I mean, later on, we'll see there. You think of all the experiences in Daniel, being thrown in the fire, the three friends being thrown in the fire, and the fourth man appears in the fire. Daniel thrown in the lion's den, because of what? Because he prayed. Because he prayed on a consistent basis, and they made a law against that. And God spoke to him. If you look later on in that first chapter, verse 17, "And as for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. And Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams." And God would use those gifts, the gifts and graces, their talents, their spiritual gifts, He would use those for His glory. Now, how about you? You see, Daniel made up his mind early. You've got a decision to make. The church that you're a part of right now has embarked. We're not about to embark. Those ships are already burned. We've turned from the ocean to the jungle. We're on a different mission now. We're on the mission God has called us to be upon. You have a decision to make as to how this is going to affect your life and how you're going to let God affect you through this decision. You'll have to purpose in your own heart. God has decided to move in this way. He has put His hand upon us. We feel His hand. He's not lifted. Thank God He has not lifted His hand from our church. He is continuing to speak. He's continuing to lead. He is continuing to show us things that we can't understand. But the decision comes back to us and to our personal being, our personal decision. What will we decide to do? Will we join God in what He's doing, or we decide to do it our own way? It's our choice. He doesn't force us to do anything. He doesn't hold a gun to our head and say, "You've got to do it this way." That's part of being created in His image. We have the prerogative to choose. And that's what makes it so exciting. It is the next adventure. It is the next place God is calling it. It is as if we go back to last week. That's why I shared that story with you. Paul's on one side of the Aegean Ocean. He's in Asia Minor. And an ocean separates him from the place that Macedonian is there and is saying, "Come over here." When he sees that vision, the Macedonian is saying, "Come over here." He had a decision to make. He had to make up his mind. He had a purpose in his heart. Am I going to obey God, or am I going to do it my way? Well, I want you to know, I want to be clear with all of you. God has shown us, in no uncertain term, what we're supposed to do as a church. It's not up for grabs. It's not unclear. He didn't stutter. He didn't fool around with it. This is what he said to do. He said, get back to your hub. In no uncertain terms. And that's what we're doing. We're following him. And it's exciting to do that. What it requires from each one of us is that we'll take a look at ourselves and say, is God calling me in this? This is how he's moving this church. And he is inviting us to come along with him as he leads us. I've seen the Lord do this in my life so many times. And I can't tell you how excited I am about it again. To think that I'm this old in my life. I'm going to start on Social Security. Medicare this summer. I'll turn 65 this summer. I feel like I'm 25. But thank God I'm not 25. Brandon said, my oldest said, don't you want to be 25 again? I said, well, physically maybe some, but I never want to be that stupid again. Yeah. Pardon me. As Daniel reminds me all the time, oh man, let me help you up. It's exciting. When God showed me that I was supposed to marry this woman, 42 years, well, I had an adventure. He showed us then we would move to Texas. I'd never been to Texas. When we moved to Texas, that was the first time either of us had ever crossed the Mississippi River. New adventure. Whew, man, another new. He moved us back to Georgia. Each time when we came here to plant the church, another adventure. Man, everything changed. And listen, everything's about to change again. It's about to change again. You who have been in this body from a long time ago, you know, God is, we've gypsied all over the place. It's God has led us as a body. And in each case, it was God moving us. It was God protecting us. It was God inviting us. Come join me in the journey. Have you made up your mind? Daniel made up his mind that he would follow, that he would follow the leading of the Lord. And I want to paint for you a picture of obedience. You read the book of Daniel and tell me that you can't get excited about that. I mean, he was rubbing elbows with the kings of the earth. And yet in each sense, he was being himself. He called us to be himself. And let me say that to you. God's not called the Sycamore Church to be another church. God's not called the Sycamore Church to be like another church. He has called the Sycamore Church to be the Sycamore Church. That's who we are. And he's inviting us on an adventure with him. That requires us to look deep inside and say, Lord, won't you revive me? In 2 Chronicles 7:14, that great revival passage, he calls on us to humble ourselves and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. This is what the Lord was saying to Solomon. Listen to this passage again. From 2 Chronicles 7. And thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord in the king's palace and successfully completed all that he had planned on doing in the house of the Lord and in his palace. And then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. And here's this warning from him. He says, if I shut up the heavens so there's no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, get this now, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Note, that formula for revival starts with humbling yourself before God and saying, Lord, I've made up my mind. I've made up my mind about you. I've made up my mind about me. Because, Lord, I need you. I need you in everything I do. I must have you. It means turning away from our choices. I sat in a courtroom this week. I got chosen for jury duty. I was there virtually all week, Tuesday all day, choosing the jury and all that. And I'm thinking, you know, they'll never choose me. They don't choose preachers usually. But I got chosen. And then 3 days, all day long, early in the morning till at night. And I got to listen and watch. And my heart hurt for all these people. The victim of the crime. It was just awful, the things that happened. And then to see the defendant and his family there and all the things that were going on with them. And it was like the Lord was letting me see there, Dusty, it is for all these people, for such a time as this, that I have brought you, that I have brought the Sycamore Church to the kingdom. To reach people with the only solution. The only solution. Let me say it again, a third time. The only solution that will absolutely heal the ills of mankind. There's only one way, one truth, and one life. And it's by Jesus. We don't get to save ourselves because we can't. Over and over again in that courtroom, as I listen to all the stuff go on and the churning of evidence and having to listen to all the choices of man being, and it was heart-wrenching. And I watched the defendant. I watched the victim there. And I watched all that going on, and my heart was just aching for him. And I wanted to stand up and say, let's pray right now. You can have deliverance from this. Everybody in this courtroom can have deliverance right now from this. That was not my place at that time. But let me tell you, I made up my mind in that courtroom this week. I changed my sermon this week. I made up my mind about how I felt about what we're doing. We can't look back. The mission is before us. And it requires us, if we're going to join Him in the mission, that means we must humble ourselves in His presence. That means we must give our lives totally to Him. Not some religious version of Christianity in the West. I'm talking about selling out. I'm talking about on a daily basis. Remember that definition I gave to you initially? I talked about that Bill Beckham gives this definition of revival, that it's not about some emotional one-time thing. When you think of a revival, particularly some of the people that are middle-aged to older in here, I mean, you remember those emotional experiences. Emotion's good. That's fine. I mean, I've got plenty of it myself. I get wired up about stuff. I mean, I'm really emotional. But you can have that right here in this building and go out that door and be unchanged. His definition of revival is something that happens in your life and there is a daily change in you where you have made up your and you're different. Whether you're on a college campus, whether you're at a high school here in Savannah, wherever your job is, in your neighborhood, where you are different, not weird, but different on the inside, and it breaks out. Let me give you an example. Y'all know I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan, right? I know. I probably need to ask forgiveness for that. There's about 4 of us in Savannah, Georgia. This week, I ran into another Dallas Cowboy fan. And he brought it up, not me. He's letting other people listen to him. And he's talking about Dallas. And I'm sitting there. I'm trying to hold it in. And he's talking about Dallas. And man, I love Dak. That's the quarterback. He's going through all. And finally, I said, I can't be quiet any longer. I'm one too. I just got to tell you, that's my team. Imagine every place we go, Jesus is showing himself. Just like that guy was talking about the Dallas Cowboys, Jesus is revealing himself everywhere we are. We go to Walmart. We go to our job. And we're sitting there. And we're seeing it. And finally, Lord, I've just got to agree with you. I've got to say something. Took this guy to lunch this week on the jury with me. They let us go do our own thing. So I'd been talking to him. Took him to lunch. Or we went to lunch together. And I'd been praying. I said, God, just give me an opportunity. And I am sitting there. I ought to know better than this. I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, now how am I going to press Jesus into this conversation? And I thought about all those religious phrases I could use. You know what? While I'm toiling over that, he sits across the table and he says, you know, Dusty, I've been thinking about God. And I'm, what? What in the world? Jesus answered my prayer right there, and it happened. I didn't have to wind it up or build it up or manipulate it. Manipulate the conversation so that it went. He just did it. And it was so natural. And I'm sitting there, and you know how you're in something, but you're also watching it? And I'm looking at this. I said, I'm just keep saying, Lord, I can't believe it. And the Lord keeps saying, why do you doubt me? Why do you doubt me about these things? I'll do it. So here's my message to you. It's time to make up your mind. Are you in with Jesus? Are you ready to humble yourself before him? Imagine what it took for Daniel. He's in a foreign land. He's there to be changed. They made no bones about it. We're bringing you here, and we're going to remake you in the image of our culture and our God. And what does Daniel do? He says, not me. I've made up my mind. I've purposed in my heart that my God is bigger than anything you've got. Bring it on. It took faith. It took humbling himself. And think of all those change points in his life that took place from that point on. All those places where he had the opportunity. He came to the crossroads. Am I going to trust God or not? Think of it. The food item. I'm going to trust God or not. We choose God's way that they look better. Comes to the prayer time. I'm going to choose God. The lions are waiting to eat me. His three brethren, you know, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Yeah, going to throw you in the fire if you don't say it. And fourth man appears there. They come out. They don't even smell like smoke. Again and again and again and again, God reveals himself. I'm calling on you today. As your pastor, one of your pastors, make up your mind. And God doesn't generically call you in this generic church with a generic name out here. He's calling you to this body. For his reason, for his purpose. Can I get a witness? And we're going to open the altar. There's the invitation. Have you made up your mind? And maybe today some of you'd like to come to the altar and seal it. Yes, God, I have made up my mind. I don't know where you lead me. All of you ask me, well, me and Rick, Dane, you know, off our leader, life group leads on. Well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do next? Well, we're going to do the next thing God tells us to do. I've got a bunch of plans, but you know what? Every time I get one that's just, I know this is it, you know what the Lord shows me? Hey, that's right. I can do it Better than that, you know. I'm figuring out how to get around the mountain many times, and God says, I'm just going to cut you away right through the mountain. I'll remove the mountain. He's God. He's God. He is Lord over all. And He's inviting you. He is inviting you. One more thing. I feel like that I have had 10,000 pounds lifted off of me. And I'm telling you, it feels good. I could dance right out in that street. That's the way I feel. Emotions can change. But in my heart, I know God. I've been asking Him, God, show us, show us, show us. And He has. And it's not an unclear signal. I mean, in me right now, I'm doing the T-Bear shuffle. It's just wanting to break out. And maybe it will. We'll be here to pray with you. I don't know if we got any pastors in here, but Audrey and I will be in here. Oh, yeah, Rick and Jimmy. We'll be here to pray with you if you want somebody to pray with you. You understand what I'm asking? I'm asking you, make up your mind. You may need some more time to think about it. Yeah, that's all right, but here's a question. It's time to purpose in your heart. If God doesn't, if He says to you, no, you know, because if he doesn't say, this is the vision for you, my question is, then what is the vision He's showing you for you? Because one doesn't happen without the other. That He's clear. He's clear on that. So, look at you. Let you and the Holy Spirit. One more verse. Isaiah 1:18 says this. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now, let us reason together. Let's have a sidebar with God, with the Holy Spirit. And what's He saying to you? You know, don't get hung up on, hey, when we going to build, what are we going to build? Let me tell you, if we get at the business of seeing people come to Jesus and grow up in Jesus, all that stuff is going to take care of itself. Will it not? That'll be minor detail beside what God wants to do through us. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for hearing and answering our prayers. And thank You that You're with us right now. Pray, Lord, as we open the altar, that You'd come. Come with Your power and strength. Come, Lord, speak to us. Speak to us personally. Speak to us about our stuff. Whatever it is that's getting in the way of You. Whatever sin it is, God, that we have committed. Lord, anything we let get in between. Lord, show it to us today as we humble ourselves in Your presence and say, come, Lord, in me. Lead me. By Your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. One of you left that $1 million check last week, but it was a counter check. You failed to put your name and the routing number on there. You can redeem that following the service today. We'll let you fill out the rest of that information. I'm going to keep saying it till it happens. Right, John? And speaking of that, you can go on your, those of you, if you've had trouble getting your end of the year statement for 2018, and you need help getting on Realm to get that so you can print it out. You got the letter this past week from us. Or if you didn't get a letter, maybe you need to change your email address. Make sure we get that, okay? And if you have any questions about getting a copy of your last year statement, you can see John. He'd be glad to help you out with that, okay? All right. If all the folks, hey, hi, Chief, Dr. O'Carey, we still going to have our little gathering today. Those of you who are going to Nigeria, think they're going or want to send someone to Nigeria. Maybe you have a family member you want to send over there. We're going to meet right down here following the service, or if you're interested in that. Right down. Huh? 18. All right. All right, look this way. And can everybody say, go Rams?
Yeah.
Let's see. Will all the Patriots fans please raise their hand? Okay. All right. Yeah. We've just separated the sheep and the goats. So, all right. Yeah, Josh, you know you're going to, Jim, you know you're going to get it, man. You know it. It's, and I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan, so I have no sympathy, none whatsoever. All right. Let me send you out with this blessing, okay? You ready? Ready to receive? All right. Now, Lord, we dwell under the authority of God the Father. We bless you, Father. We receive you, Jesus, the Son of God, great physician, healer, and Savior of the world. Holy Spirit, go before us now as we go out into our world and proclaim the good news. Jesus saves, and Jesus is coming soon. Amen. All right, sick 'em.